This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Sunday, September 29, 2024, the 18th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I am liturgically perturbed this morning. Come around here often, you know that that does not happen infrequently. Today is kind of a biggie for me, and my angst comes from the fact that it is September 29th. September 29th, Michaelmas, the Mass of St. Michael. As time has gone on, St. Michael, St. Gabriel, and St. Raphael, the archangels. One day a year, when we pay attention to those creatures who assist us into heaven directly. They are the creatures, them and our guardians, who are the closest thing to us that we will have in this world to heaven constantly. Yes, we receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, the Eucharist. That's on at Mass time. The guardian angels stay with us constantly. One day a year, we should pay attention to this, and they don't get their due. It's unfortunate, because for one thing, traditionally, this is a first-class feast day. Sundays generally are second-class feast days. So if you have a first-class feast day, it's supposed to take precedent. For instance, if you go to a Latin Mass church this morning, you will hear the Mass of St. Michael. It's that important. The church has always recognized it until the past 60 years. It's not even transferred to the next Monday or anything like that. It's just kind of, okay. Something that has historically been a first-class feast day. This is where my angst comes from. Again, and if you appreciate which you should, because as I said before, there is no more direct connection between you and heaven than your guardian angels. We love our saints that we pray to intercession. They're not with you. They indeed are the communion of the saints. They do indeed intercede for you in heaven. That's a given. We're Catholics. We get that. Your guardian angel is with you from the time you are conceived in your mother's womb until you either go to heaven or go to hell. Those two options. They accompany you the entire time. We think of family in this world. We love our families. We got family members come and go. They move away. They get sick. They die. All these, our guardian angel never wavers, ever. He does in your life the exact will of God. This is why we have them, because we don't do the will of God. You have guardian angels to do this for you. This and all the choirs of angels, their job is to get you into heaven. Kind of speculative, but a lot of things we know about the angels are speculative, but very well founded. For instance, say like Adam and Eve did not have a guardian angel until they fell. There was no need, because everything the angels do, they get us into heaven. They put us in communion with God. They were in perfect communion with God. Well, they help us along as we learn things. Adam and Eve didn't have to learn anything. They had infused knowledge. Okay, there was no reason for them to have guardian angels. After they fell, then God ratchets it up. Okay, they messed up. Now, even when they get kicked out of the garden, who stands guard over the garden? Cherubim. God uses the angels, and I'm sure after that time, Adam and Eve had a guardian angel. They didn't need one beforehand. Guardian angels for us to get us restored to God through Jesus Christ and to get us into heaven. It's what they do. Nobody does more for you for that. Your favorite saint, your guardian angel, is the one who does that for you. And again, on a day, I would actually say, hey, this is a bummer, this day that they just get kind of wiped. October 2nd, guardian angels, be there. It is unfortunate that so many people, a lot of people, I'm talking about very faithful people, there's no attention paid to the angels. No attention. You know, I give people spiritual direction. You know, if a person's discussing this, that, or the other thing, every now and then I'll say, okay, I want you to write down everything that you do. I want you to write down your rule of life. And I usually get this sometimes sheet after sheet. I do this novena, and I do this, and I say this rosary. I say this chaplet, and I do this, and I do that. We're going to stop a lot of this stuff. But I can never remember ever. And these are very faithful people. They want a spiritual director. They have a rule of life. Kind of messy, but they have a rule of life. I can never remember ever reading the list and I have 15 minutes of devotion to my guardian angel. When's the last time you spoke to your guardian angel? I mean directly. Hey, guardian angel, this, that, the other. It's unfortunate. It's not a thing for us. Why? Because they're out of sight, out of mind. This is why we need to bring them to the forefront of our mind. This is why today is such a travesty. The one first-class feast day, they're first-class because the angels are that important. And oh, we're not, whatever. Whatever, nothing. Whatever, nothing. They are absolutely imperative for our salvation. They are direct reflections of God. Their names. St. Michael, who is like God. St. Gabriel, strength of God. St. Raphael, the medicine of God. They reflect God's glory. In the Old Testament, you'll read in the English version, it's the angel of the Lord. In Hebrew, Malach Yahweh. This, is that Michael? It doesn't matter who it is. It's an angel that is so close to God and so reflects his glory in this world that even the way it grammatically is presented, it's like, okay, is it an angel or is it God? Yes, because that's what angels do. They reflect God into this world directly. Okay, they don't play their own game. They reflect God, and we need to appreciate that they do that for us as individuals. As individuals, this is what they're all about. They're there to get you into heaven. That's kind of important, isn't it? And why are we here today? We want to eventually go to heaven. Your angels are the one who get you there, if you pay attention to them. This is what you need to understand about it. This is why everybody needs to have a period of devotion regularly to their guardian angel. Regularly. I got a devotion to this saint and that saint and that saint. Well, keep that devotion, but make the guardians over that, because those other, they're in heaven, they intercede for you. Your guardian's with you. He knows. It's kind of weird. Your guardian angel knows you better than you do. Yeah, he's been illuminated by God because he's your guardian angel to know absolutely everything about you. What you think. They can't read hearts. Angels can't. Only God reads hearts. But God will let them know what he reads in your heart. In order for them to do their job, to try to do their job, this is what they do. It was easy for me today, too. I was like, man, I hope one of the readings says something about angels. And then immediately I was like, okay, stupid, everything that you read in Scripture has to do with angels' activity. You look at the first reading. What was the first reading? The first verse of the first reading. God came down in a cloud and spoke to Moses. The Scriptures tell us explicitly that no man has ever seen God and lived, except Moses. No, it doesn't say that. No man has ever seen God. What that mean? The beatific vision. God himself, God coming down and talk. No man has ever seen. So, okay, who came down? It says the Lord came down. It was an angel. An angel came down and reflected the glory of God. So in the first reading, you hear about angels. You heard about God coming down to God. That's who brings God down here, is angels. The second reading, James. It's the letter of James. You know, we get the marching orders. Treat everybody equally. Don't run your mouth. Don't get into your riches in this world. All those things that James says about. Where's the angels there? The angels apply those things to our life. The angels open our eyes to the necessity of doing those things. That's called sanctification. That's actually their primary function. The Holy Spirit gives us the words of Scripture, and then the angels apply them to our lives. The gospel today, it's kind of interesting. Although in our particular reading today from the Gospel of Mark, you don't have what our Lord fleshes out in other gospels. He has this, you know, we got the thing, whoever offends one of these little ones that believes in me, let him have a millstone hang about his neck and be cast into the sea. Other gospels go on and say, because there are angels in heaven, behold the face of my Lord. This is my Father. He's in heaven. The angels behold his face. This is the angel that has been given charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. You just need to pay attention to that. And you need to venerate them for that. You need to give them thanks that they do their job well. And you need to ask them, hey, this is one of my favorites. It's like, hey, guardian, do me a favor. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. So if you need to kick me in the tail to keep me behind the shield, please feel free. This is the reality of the guardian angels. If we cooperate with them, all is well, because they do the work of the Lord explicitly and without fail, in 100% accord with his will. They are the ministers that lead us to Christ. This is what they do. This is the import of angels. This is not speculative, it's not subjective. The angels are the most important part of your spiritual life. Your particular personal guardian angel is the most important thing that heaven gives you. They're a conduit between, people get this, like the angels are up there, okay, it's 1962 in March, you know, Doc's going to be born, you know, okay, you need to leave heaven, go down and hang out with him and earth. That's not how it works. They don't flip back and forth between heaven and earth. Again, they don't do it. They're spirit beings. They're in both places. The guardian who's with you right now is beholding the Father in heaven right now. This is the glory of the angels. You start thinking about things, whoa! And they get one day when we're supposed to pay attention to them and we ignore it. We ignore it. This is, let us just say, very sad. We need to appreciate the angels. It isn't so much a homily and angelology and what they do and how they do. It's actually as how much God thinks of you. You know, how often do we hear all this stuff about his love for us? He loves you unconditionally. He does, which is a lie. He loves you. He loves you a lot, but it's not unconditional. There's a whole lot of conditions to it. But nonetheless, he loves you more than you can imagine. Absolutely more. Prove it. You got an angel. He sends a creature from heaven to be with you from the time you're conceived to the time you either go to heaven or hell, and they stay with you, and their entire in that entire time is trying to get you to heaven. So, oh man, I dropped the ball. The guy went to hell. No, they don't drop the ball. You drop the ball. You don't do what they say. And if you appreciate the angels and their work, you start to significantly appreciate and should have a higher opinion of yourself. This is the proof that God loves you. This is the proof of your dignity before God, that he cares that much about you. You're not going to let you fend for yourself. Yep, they're all messed up now. They couldn't get themselves into heaven if they tried. So I got to fix this. He sends the guardian angels. I've given my angels charge of you to keep you in all your ways. Well, why don't we pay more attention to them? Because of modernism. That's why. Modernism, they look at, oh, we can't be paying attention. We got to pay attention to Jesus. Yes, we should pay attention to Jesus. The Jesus who, when he announced his coming into this world to the Blessed Virgin Mary, used who? The Archangel Gabriel. God came to the vision in Mary and told her, no, he sent an archangel. When our Lord is born in Bethlehem, who points the shepherds to this glorious thing that's happening? Angels. When our Lord is tempted in the desert, who ministers to him? He's God. Is she able to stand up for himself? His angels ministered to him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, his angels ministered to him. Yeah, we should pay attention to Jesus, who used the ministry of angels in his life. How much more should we? Because he is indeed. Could you imagine the A-team of angels that's around Jesus? I mean, seriously. I mean, come on. I mean, and we've got one. We've got one because God loves us. One commentator, early church father, assistance of the angels given at baptism continues throughout life. Not even sin can suppress it. Sin only makes the angels sad. Even when you leave the church, go rob banks and murder people constantly and things that wind up in prison and hate God for the rest of your life, your guardian angel's still there with you. He's very sad, but he's still with you. And he's still going to try. He's going to still try. They are, St. Gregory of Nyssa says that our angels are like a spiritual lever bar. You know, if you got a big rock and you can't move it, you take a lever bar and you move it in there, you pull on that lever bar and it moves that rock a little bit. That rock is our hearts. And the Holy Spirit grabs our angel, the lever bar, and pulls, and our angel who is here with us tries to nudge us along just a little bit. It advances us inch by inch, maybe even less than that, but at least progress is progress toward heaven. This is what they do. And we should give such great thanks and be so appreciative and actually, again, really bask in the fact that God cares that much for us, that he doesn't leave us to our own devices. It's proof positive that we can't do anything for ourselves. I got to send these perfect beings down from heaven to help you out, but you need to listen to them because you have free will. This is our Catholic life, trying our best to listen to them. There's three stages of the spiritual life: the purgative way, the illuminative way, and then the unitive way, unitive perfection. We start out as sinners. We don't even know any better. We have no clue. How do you find out you're a sinner? Our Lord Jesus said the Holy Spirit comes for two reasons: to lead you into all truth and to convict you of sin. The Holy Spirit does that through angels. Where do you get that? From the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon, which is, everybody knows, a very, very poetic, very, very illustrative, kind of churchy whole thing about love and all this. Yeah, God's love, you know, the love for the one who desires the groom. Who is that? Who's the groom? Who the one that emphasizes he's the groom the whole time? Our Lord Jesus Christ. So the search is for the groom, our Lord Jesus Christ, and there she tries to find him in the city. What is the city? Where does Jesus live? Heaven. And the guards that are around heaven, who is that? The angels, okay? So you get this, but in this very illustrative language, it says, the keepers, the angels, the keepers that go about the city found me, and they struck me and wounded me. What? That's your guardian angel in that initial conviction of sin. When we hear that we're not doing things that we should do, it's painful sometimes. We get confronted with, oh, I don't do that, and I just got told it was wrong. Hold that thought for a second. I'm not even going to point it out when it comes, but it'll come later on in the homily. Every now and then we hear things that, oh my gosh, I don't do that. I've never heard that before. That's the lever bar going, trying to nudge on a little bit in this whole thing. We don't know everything. We don't understand everything. We have to. And it's kind of clear in some places. It hasn't been told to us, or we ignore it, or we make excuses why we don't have to do this, that, or the other thing. But the angels will be the ones who give you that little kick in the tail every now and then to get you understanding that you're not on the right path. This is just between me and God. Never works like that, ever, ever in Scripture. That sounds so good. Your Protestant friends love that. Just between me and God. I don't have to confess my sin to anybody. That's not how he works, ever. The angels are the ones that he uses to work, even our cleansing. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah sees the vision of God in the throne room. God's there. God's there. Isaiah, woe is me. I am undone. I'm going to disintegrate because the holy God's here. I am a sinful man and I live amongst a sinful people. Oh, don't worry about it, Isaiah. You're my prophet. I cleanse you. No. What happens? A seraph goes over to the altar, takes a coal, puts it on Isaiah's lips. The seraph is the one who cleanses him for God. This is how God uses angels and men in a wonderful order. We need to embrace this, and we need to be attentive toward it. That's how they work. They are the ones that initially, that lead us into that purgative way. They purge us of our sins. Then they open our eyes to the illuminative way. And so before about this, the reading from St. James, do this, don't do that, dot this I, cross this T, and everything like that. We don't know why. What's the big deal? The more you learn about it and the more you desire to do this, that's your angel moving forward. And if you don't do it, then your angel is sitting there fretting because you won't do what he says. This is our whole Catholic life. This is your angel working you from the time when you really understand that your faith is serious until the time you die. This is the illuminative way. This is where the light of God is shed upon us in a more progressive manner. You know, it's just the light of the Holy Spirit. The scriptures tell us that the light of the Holy Spirit is incomprehensible. You can't comprehend it. Well, then how do I comprehend it? That light is filtered down through the nine choirs of angels. And that those nine choirs of angels diffuse that light in our hearts, and it makes us more, like when you wake up in the morning and it's like you keep your eyes closed and you can slowly open them more and more. That's what your guardian angel does for you. He is the one that helps you with the illumination of the Holy Spirit, constantly pointing up to that illumination. It gets less and less incomprehensible and more comprehensible. This is what the angels do. They manifest our Catholic life very practically. You probably see it no more, and it is described in Scripture, no more prevalent than in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. When we get together for worship, okay, I've just been here beating the whole subject about your guardian angels. What do you think happens when we, whose guardian angels have led us to a point where not only you go to church on Sunday, but you've deepened your faith to where you go to a church that you perceive is where, you know, this, I'm learning, I'm deepening my faith, I've moved from here to here to here. You know, I was a good Catholic before, but I'm trying to be a better Catholic as I learn my faith. This is your guardian going on. That every time we get together for, can you imagine a group of people that get together and have guardian angels who have been successful to this point. They're successful to this point, and then when you get together, they're all together also. And their presence in worship is explicit in Scripture. And one of the ways that we see it manifest is, are we going to see angels? No, you're not. Just like in the Scriptures, where you don't see the word angel, but you see in every one of the readings today that they're working. Where do you see the angels working in Mass? Or where should you see that the angels are working in Mass? Chapel veils. Chapel veils. Why do women need to have their heads covered in Mass? Well, because of first century patriarchal nonsense. Or because of early Christian misogyny, or it was just a first century cultural thing. Man, that all sounds good if you don't want to wear a chapel veil. Okay, that sounds really good, those arguments, but not one of them are in Scripture, because St. Paul says specifically why women should have their heads veiled theologically, because of creation. He created Adam, and then he created Eve. There are roles. Those roles should be manifest because you live in this world. Those roles should be manifest objectively. And one of those ways it's objectively pointed is that women are to have their head covered in Mass. And he ends it with this one. Theology aside, this aside, that aside. He said, and they need to wear chapel veils because of the angels. Period. What about the angels that are here present? The angels that are around here in the different choirs, and not one of the angels ever goes, oh, I'm just an angel. I want to be a seraphim today. I'm not happy being, I should be a seraphim too. No, they're particular, they are ecstatic about doing God's will as an angel. We should all be ecstatic about what our role is in the church, no matter what it may be. Well, you're not a woman. You don't work in the clerical world. Here I am on Sundays, every Sunday, I'm over there, I'm sitting here, I celebrate Mass and everything. Week after next, I'm going to Houston for the clergy conference. Okay. When I go to the clergy conference, guess what? The bishop celebrates Mass, and all the inner sanctum which includes Father Jason now. They stand up there with the bishop and they concelebrate with the bishop. I sit out in the pew and I go, I should be able to sit up there. I'm a priest. I've been a priest longer than Father Jason. No, praise God that Father Jason has the position that he has now. Praise God that he's up there with the bishop. Pray for him. Yeah, that's a big deal. I don't feel bad about sitting. As a matter of fact, if there's anything I like about it, I get kind of chill for a couple days. Okay, do my thing, and just leave it at that. But I don't feel bad because I'm sitting out there in a stole and they have all the vestments on and up there everything. So what's the big deal with the chapel veil? Having your head veiled is because of the angels. I like how Paul just stops it with that because if I say that, that should just be shut up about the whole thing. Because of the angels. Well, I don't think I should have to do it. Well, that's going to be something you have to take up later on. This is why. Because of the angels who are present and the orderliness that needs to be in worship. And it needs to be manifest across the board. We don't have the option. St. Paul does not say because of the angels. But in a couple hundred years, the angels won't be in worship, so you don't have to wear chapel veils anymore. And the church has never, ever, ever said you don't have to. They just used to say up until 1983 that you needed to wear one. Church law. Church law. You're a woman, you come into Matt. When I was a kid, first century. I was born in the 1960s. Yeah, okay, it's a long time ago. But at the end of the day, I never went to Mass one day of my life when any woman was in there uncovered. They didn't wear chapel veils. They usually had hats on. I remember my mom used to complain. She had a big hat on. You couldn't even see anything. People complained about anything. But nonetheless, covered. Why? Because of the angels. This is the whys of these things. I've never heard that before. I'm sure you haven't. I'll tell you firsthand. It's not in the lectionary. It's nowhere in the lectionary, that portion of Scripture. Why? Well, why not? Because that would kind of be a bummer for everywhere where women don't wear chapel veils, right? Here, yeah, you need to wear chapel veils because the angels. I'm just saying. I don't believe that part. Okay, there were other parts that you believe. I'm just saying. 1 Corinthians 11, I want to see that. 1 Corinthians 11. Read it and weep. It's not any kind of denigration. It's embracing the order. Because what do the angels want us to do? They want us to be like them. And I don't mean like them as in become angels, because that's not going to happen because they're angels, we're people. I actually heard a parent tell their children, well, when you die, you go to heaven, you become an angel. No, you don't. Angels are angels, we're people, and it's never, we'll be glorified and all that other good stuff, but we will be like angels. How do you know that? Because Jesus says it. When they ask him, hey, she was married 7 times, and she goes to heaven, whose wife is she going to be? You don't know the scripture, you don't know what you're talking about. I love Jesus sometimes. You don't know what you're talking about. When you go to heaven, you're not given in marriage, you're like the angels. This is why virginity is a huge thing in the church. It always has been. What's the big deal about virginity? It's an unnatural thing. Yes, it is an unnatural thing. It's a grace. It is a grace. Okay, and if you can swing that, why does the church exalt virginity? Because you're more like the angels. Angels don't get married. Angels don't have, and I bet that you're actually better than the angels because by their nature, they're not into that whole conjugal thing. You by your nature are, and if you can forgo that, you are much more like an angel because you're doing it voluntarily. They do it because of who they are. This is why these big deals of things, because of angels. This is why it's so important and why it sticks in my cross so bad on days like today, which only happen every 7 years, but it should never happen at all. We should always be venerating the angels. Again, if you don't do anything for a rule of life, I would suggest, if you don't do the angel, you don't say rosary, take some time and talk to your guardian angel. It's that important. They marvel at your salvation. Angels marvel at the fact that you're sitting here. Why? Because they saw a third of their bros fall and no do-overs. Oh, you were an angel, now you're a demon. You're a demon and you're going to be a demon for the rest of eternity. One mistake, no do-overs. And they watch us and go, darn, man. Everybody else got thrown to the curb for one mistake, and these people are just dropping the ball over and over again, committing doozies time and time and time again, and he lets them go into the confessional with a priest, and they're absolved of their sins, and then they get to come up in heaven and live with us. It's like they marvel. That's the word the scripture uses. They marvel at your salvation. I did a baptism yesterday. Got another one this afternoon. Isn't that awesome? 2 days in a row. Baptism has been a big thing around here. Thank you very much. They marvel at our salvation. Can you imagine? When our Lord ascended into heaven, the psalmist tells us the angels looked down and said, who is this King of glory? Open the gates for the King of glory. Who is this King of glory? They're dumbfounded. They're, oh my gosh, he's bringing all kinds. You know, he's not bringing like Isaiah and Moses and Adam. He's bringing the thief on the cross. They marvel at this. It happens every time at the baptism. Because that child is dead in trespasses and sins, or the adult. And when they're not in the church, they're not even on the radar screen. They come out of the baptismal font and they, who is this? Who's this that was not even on the radar screen before and now they're part of the body of Christ? This is the holy angels. They marvel at this. We've got to appreciate their marveling at us and we got to appreciate how much God marvels at us for giving them to us. End with the word of St. Jerome. How great is the dignity of souls to have from the time of their birth an angel appointed to guard each of them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.